Lord a round of applause. Can we do that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm so encouraged when other pastors or staff members come. We just met a pastor today earlier in the first service visiting from Lubbock, Texas, and it was awesome. But today also we have pastors Lewis and Savannah Bonilla all the way from Iowa. Anybody else from Iowa in the house today? Come on. Hallelujah. We are so glad you guys are here. Pastor Lewis and Pastor Savannah were on staff at Living Hope Church here in Burney for years, and we miss you guys. But we are so thankful for what God is doing with you guys there in Iowa. I want you to know, we'll leave the gate open. There's some folks we won't, but no, we'll leave it open for everybody. But you guys are home folk, and we would thank you for being present here. And I asked Pastor Lewis if he wanted to preach. He said, no, I need to be fed. So hope this was worth it, because you could have gone so many places today. We're glad that you guys are here. We asked Pastor Isai, said, we're going to launch into a series today called Mi Familia. For you gringos, that means my family. Okay, and so it is summertime. Students, how you doing so far? Summer break going all right? Good. Our goal is not to see you get lazy, though, in learning, and we want to help everybody in this room, so we're going to be teaching some things over the course of the next 10 weeks, like Mi Familia and other terms and things. There are going to be some experiences. I'm just giving you a heads up right now that when we gather here that you might experience this, and I cannot believe the wheels are falling off of God's house. No, it's okay to laugh and have fun and a good time. But we want to just see you learn. We want to see you grow. We want to see you get healthy. In fact, that's the purpose of this series called Mi Familia. You know, Fiesta starts June 17th. Come on, somebody. When's the last time you had a churro? It's coming. Mark my words, all right? Fiesta starts June 17th. We're excited that things are starting to open up a little bit in our culture. I love watching sporting events with people actually in the fans versus faces of cutouts, you know? So we thought we would piggyback and celebrate this celebration. And you know, there's one thing that I do love about the Latino culture. Family's a big deal, is it not? And I love that. And that's what I love when people ask us about San Antonio and living there. I love that family feel. We're not perfect. I get that. None of our families. Anybody got a perfect family? Awesome, good. So we all have some growth and improvement that could take place, right? Home improvement, right? There's some work that can be done. But I love that family feel that we see there. And so what we want to do this summer is we're carving out 10 weeks, and we're going to be sharing some things with you over the course of these next 10 weeks that will make, we believe, your family better, healthier, stronger. Whether you're a family of one, listen, that's significant. That's a big deal. Or maybe you're a family of 12, whatever it is. Listen, we believe that as good as your situation may be, or maybe as much work as your situation might be, we believe that God's got something better in store for you. We're gonna go the next level this summer with families. And so I'm excited. You're gonna hear from multiple pastors from our team over the next few weeks, and we are just excited to see what God wants to do. Why would we carve out time and talk about the family? Well, because the Bible talks about the family. In fact, did you know something? Family is a big deal to God. He created it. You know that, right? God created family, and it is a big deal to him. We want to talk about those things that are big deals to God. We just finished a series talking about money and wealth, and yes, some of y'all saying, good, I'm glad I didn't come for that one. Well, whether you like it or not, he talked a lot about money, right? He talked a lot about family, and here's what I want you to understand today. God created your family. Now, he's not responsible for the mess maybe in your family, but God created it. And he has a great big plan for your family and for your home. And I'm excited for us to journey together to begin to unpack that and see what God's plan is for your family. The very first book of the Bible is the book of, not appendix, a Genesis. It's Genesis, okay? But in chapter 1, we find early on in all of creation these words. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and he told them, be fruitful and multiply. Some of y'all have highlighted that part in your Bible, haven't you? Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, and the birds in the sky, and all of the animals that scurry along the ground. We find early on God creating this unit that we would call family. And here's the deal you need to understand about family. Family is one of God's foundational plans that he wants to build on to make his name famous throughout the earth. I don't know if you've ever considered your family that big a deal to God. But God has created this thing called the family, and he's looking at it to be an example of who he is in society and to give people a better glimpse as to who he is. Your family is a big deal to God. You go to the very next chapter in Genesis chapter 2, you're going to find that God creates a woman for a man. An azer is the Hebrew word. That word azer does not mean doormat. It does not mean step whatever. It does not mean a servant. It means a completer, a helper. So God brings a woman, a wife, into the man's life. You skip over a couple of chapters to Genesis chapter 4. And that husband and wife begin to do what God's word says. They multiply. You should only multiply according to God's plans as a husband and wife, okay? But they multiplied and they begin to have sons. The first two sons, the first two births in the Bible were two young men by the name of? You think your family's jacked up? Just wait a minute. We're going to talk about them, right? Cain and Abel. We see very early on God laying out this thing called family. Can I just let you know something? God created family before he created the church. Long before this thing of the church that we know and that we gather in this spiritual family that we're a part of, we see in God's word the creation of this earthly thing called family. So your family is a big deal. It's a big deal to God. Before we start talking about and looking at all the other things about walking in the spirit and doing all this, we find God creating this thing called family, right? I love family. And what I'm hoping that you will see over the next few weeks is that we have an incredible opportunity with this thing called family. One of those things I believe that God wants to do in your family is he wants to reflect who he is. Our families reflect God. I remember early on as a young man in ministry, a pastor told me, "Hey, Jason, listen, the greatest sermon you'll ever preach is your family." I'm going, "Oh, man." And I'm going to be honest with you. I love my family, but we're not perfect. We're jacked up and flawed. They really are. They're messed up. And so, but I'm praying as the pastor and as the man, we're all jacked up, are we not? In fact, just look at your neighbor right now. I said, now he's talking about you. You got issues. I'm glad you showed up today, right? But our families are to reflect God. But we know we're not perfect. But God's plan is to somehow work a miracle. And some of you are here today saying, when you think about your family, that's what you need. You need a supernatural work of God in your home, do you not? Because our families are flawed and they're broken. But have you ever considered your family as a reflection of who God is? Now, I know for a lot of us, we're like, man, I've never thought about that. I'm just trying to, you know, keep the HOA happy with my yard and keep trash cans pulled in when they're supposed to be and all that stuff. No, God has bigger plans for that. But do you understand that your family can begin to reflect the nature and essence of who God is? For instance, in your family, you guys are to love one another as God loves us. It's a self-sacrificing type of love. It's putting the needs of others above our own. It's willing to do whatever. The Bible says, greater love hath no man than this, than he lay down his life for his friend. You see, that love that God has demonstrated to us, listen, one of his things, he wants you to reflect that to a world around us. No pressure there, right? What about acceptance? Come on, has God accepted you? With all of your flaws and your screw-ups and your mistakes, all those warts and blemishes, are we not accepted by God just as we are? And that might be a word for somebody listening here today because you feel like, man, I got to get my life in order. I got to clean up, dress up. I need to stop acting up in order for God to accept me. No, he loves you just the way you are. But I'm telling you, he loves you so much, he's not going to leave you like that. But he accepts us. Do people in your family feel accepted? Or do they feel like they have to perform somehow in order for you to accept them and to receive them and let them have a seat at the table? What about forgiveness? That's the real F word, forgiveness. It's hard, is it not? And it's hard for some of us to say forgiveness. You remember that scene on Happy Days? Arthur Fonzarelli struggled with saying those words, I'm sorry. He couldn't get it out. The Fonz struggled with forgiveness. But should that not be a part of our families? And then as we forgive one another, we're reflecting the forgiveness of God. Listen, we're not perfect. We're gonna make mistakes. My family makes all sorts of them, but I'm so thankful for the forgiveness of God. And they put up with me. You put up with me. God puts up with me and you. Patience? Anybody struggle with that? If you're sitting next to someone today that struggles with patience, would you just rate? Now, don't do that. Don't. It's rude. We all struggle with that. You know? We all struggle with, listen, all of these things are who God is, and we could go on and on, but have you ever thought about my family can reflect those things of who God is? We can reflect those to people. The reality is this, as Christians, we should be putting on display through our families the very nature of God. Amen? How would God speak to us? Ooh. What kind of language would God use towards us? He would never use his name in vain, I'm telling you that. Why do we use it towards others? Even within our home. Are you picking up what I'm putting down? We can reflect God through our families. And let me just remind you, let's remind you what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. See, those good deeds are not just by serving people and doing this. And no. Our good deeds are through the way we love and operate within the confines of this thing called family. I love what Pope John Paul II said. He said, as the family goes, so goes the nation. So goes the whole world in which we live. Isn't that not true? Our families are important. Be just bringing up that word family. For some of you, conjures up some hurts and pains, does it not? It does for me. I'm thankful for my family, and there are so many things that I can look back in my family and growing up that I experienced that were things that I love, and I've been things that I've continued to try to model for my family and pass along. But let's all just be honest. There's some hurtful things for some of us, are there not? Some painful memories that are conjured up. And I can't help but think that maybe one of the reasons why we find ourselves in such dysfunction as a nation is because so many of our families are in dysfunction. We somehow have wandered so far outside and away from what God has prescribed. Remember, who created family? He did. We've wandered so far away from that. And for some of you right now, view of family is not healthy. It's not encouraging. It's painful. There's some things from the past that might be conjured up even in this moment. You know, it's interesting to me that throughout the Bible, the only four chapters you're going to find in which sin is not represented are Genesis chapter 1 and 2, the very first chapters, and then the very last two chapters of the Bible, Revelation 21 and 22. But in between those four chapters, the first two and the last two, what you're going to find all throughout Scripture is jacked up people. Why? Because of something that is still a problem in our culture today. Sin. Very early on, right? Remember, Adam and Eve messed it up because they ate from that one tree they were told to steer clear of, right? But this book, God's word, his instruction manual to us is littered with some good examples of families, yes. But let's just be real and honest. There's some poor examples here too, right? We talk about Adam and Eve, right? Doing something that God told them not to do. And then what did Adam do? He did what every strong male should do. Blame the problem on your wife. Guys, that will not work well for you. Tuck, that's not a good role to take, bro. It doesn't work well. You'd be sleeping somewhere else besides on that Tempur-Pedic tonight, right? I told you about their first two kids. Cain and Abel. I know that brothers and sisters always have issues and get along, but do you know that one brother took the life of another one? Suddenly your family situation doesn't look so bad, does it? Right? What about Father Abraham? Father Abraham had many sons. He had many wives also. I wouldn't encourage that in our culture today. It's just not healthy, right? Someone once wrote a song that trying to love two women is like a ball and chain. Well, I'm telling you, it didn't work for Abraham either. He had two wives. He lied about being married to Sarah, right? Then he kicked his other wife out with her son. Come on, what kind of godly man does that? Your family doesn't look so bad all of a sudden, does it? Yeah. What about Jacob? Jacob, he had multiple wives. He stole a page from his grandfather. He had multiple wives, had 12 sons. And what did those boys do? Well, they sold one of the brothers into slavery. They're just a little jealous. His clothes are nicer than ours, you know? Dad likes the baby more than he likes us. I know that we would never think that in our culture today, right? But surely you've not sold your baby brother or sister into slavery, right? What about David? King David, a man after God's own heart. Multiple wives. He has a son who rapes his sister. I mean, seriously. You find that some bad examples in Scripture because of this thing called sin. So many of our families today are jacked up because of that same issue that we find within the covers of God's Word. Sin is still present in our culture today, is it not? And it is still something that is eating at the very core of what God's plan is for families. And it's sin that's crept into your family. Listen, your spouse or your kid is not the enemy. The enemy is the devil. And he's trying to steal and to kill and to destroy. And that's what he wants to do with your family. And for so many of us, he's having a field day, is he not? Well, I'm glad you're here today. And that's why we're carving out some time this summer. Because we believe that God is not finished with you and your family. We believe that God has greater plans and bigger plans. And as bad as it looks right now, and it looks like the enemy is having a field day, I'm just telling you, I know who wins and I know how it ends. And if you'll just hang on and trust and check this out, if you'll do your family according to his prescription, I'm telling you, your family will not only survive, it will thrive. He's got great plans for you. In fact, have you ever thought about that God has a plan for you and your family? What do you mean? I thought the plan was just to give the kids everything they want, help out with a few chores around the house to keep the wife off my back, or I'm just supposed to do whatever he tells me I'm supposed to do. Man, we get 18 years and we get rid of these kids and then we can really kick back, relax, and enjoy life. And you know, you're always a parent and they're always coming after you. Hey, can I have some help with this? Or counseling? No, I need money, you know? Am I talking to anybody right now? Come on. I thought it would end. When? Good gosh. I need a paper route just to pay for my adult kids. God's got a bigger plan for your family than that. For you overachievers, just read the book of Ephesians this week and start in chapter 1. Look at chapters 4 and 5 and see how husband and wives are supposed to interact and relate to one another. Hey, you kids, why don't you read chapter 6 of Ephesians and see what your role is to contributing to this plan that God has for your home and for your family. He has a plan. I'll tell you, one of those plans we find early on in every Hebrew child growing up and every good Hebrew understood what God's plan was. In fact, in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6, we find the Shema. We find these words. Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you're on the road, when you're going to bed and when you are getting up. Can I just tell you something about the Shema and these words here? Parents, the Hebrews understood that instruction was not a once-a-time thing when they went to the synagogue or the temple. But for them, instruction and training up a child in the ways of God was an everyday part of their lives. That's why it says when you're getting up and when you're lying down, even when you're going, listen, I don't know what you do on family trips. You may be playing car bingo or trying to find every license plate in the union. But I'm telling you, for every Hebrew, they were constantly trying to teach the word of God and get it on their kids' hearts. Why? Well, because the heart is the wellspring of life. One of the plans for your family as mom and dad is to instruct and teach your kids the ways of God. Well, what is that? Well, I can tell you what it's not. It's not Dr. Spock or O Magazine or some other. I'm telling you, why don't you just get back to the one who, did I say that he created the family? And that he probably has a good plan. This is when things in your life go wrong and they get broken. You oftentimes refer to an owner's manual or you Google something, right? Somebody's done some research to tell you how to fix it. I'm telling you, I believe that every problem we have in life can be found within the covers of God's word. Now, I even told you it's not filled with perfect situations, but even in the midst of when things go wrong, we find the remedy. We find a response to those times when things go wrong. Parents, you're to instruct and teach your kids. More than just once a week when they gather here. Just a programming note. We have something really cool for you today. They're free today. Next week, they're going to be $60. But today, just kidding. We have these summer family devotional guides that our Next Gen team has put together. And for the next 9-10 weeks, there is a daily devo that you as a family can sit down and share. There are questions to ask. There are projects to participate in. There are things to do that we believe will make your family healthier. Can you zoom in on that? I mean, there's colors. I love colors. I love geometric shapes. There's a broken heart. Don't know what that means, but something serious. But there's some great words here. There's prayers that you as a family can have. You've got to be intentional if you want your family to get healthy. Just as you're intentional, I want to be the best banker. I want to be the best real estate person. I want to be the best roofer or construction person. I want to be the best nurse. I want to be the best athlete. Listen, you're intentional in becoming the best at things that you really want to be best at. Can we elevate family? Can I become a better husband and dad? Can I become a better wife? Hey, kids, can you become better kids in your home? All of us can. I want to encourage you to stop by the connections desk today and grab one of these. If you're serious about it, you got to be proactive. You got to be intentional about this. You can scan the QR code. Look at that. Hey, you can put it on we've got a 1910 Church app. Download the app and all that stuff will be with you wherever you go. We are serious about helping you get healthy here. But it's up to you. You can lead a horse to the water, but you can't make him drink. Come on, it's time for us to drink. Time for us to get healthy. Not only are we God's plan for our family is to teach our kids, but hey, we're to teach others and tell others about the goodness of God. I already talked about that, reflecting him and putting him on display for other people to see. God's got a big plan for you and your family. There's another family that I want to just allude to real quick before I let you guys go here today, because earthly families are great. Yours might not be perfect. It's broken and flawed. I mean, I know all of us think that, you know, Opie had the best family situation. Single parent family, right? So you single parents, you're a family. You are. And there's an incredible role that you have. You single people, you're a family and a unit. And God wants to use you to reflect his goodness and his glory and tell others about that, right? Think of the Cleaver family and how great they were. Man, guys, wouldn't it be great every day you walk in from work and put the briefcase down and, man, there is a piping hot meal on the table. Your wife greets you dressed in a dress, cute little apron on. And we know that that's TV and not reality, though, don't we? And as great as the Cleaver family was, there's always an Eddie Haskell. that's going to jack you guys up, you know? God's got a big plan for your family. But can I tell you another family that God's got a big plan for your life in? And this is a spiritual family. And not, earthly families are great. And we want to see yours grow and become healthier. But I'm telling you, you're also a part of another family, a spiritual family. And you know how you become a part. Listen, I know that there are some of your earthly human family members you'd probably like to vote out of the house. There's a spiritual family that you can associate with that, well, I'll be honest with you. This spiritual family can also carry a lot of the same hurts and pains and struggles that our earthly families carry, right? This same idea of love and acceptance and forgiveness and patience. I mean, is that not necessary? It needs to be present even in this thing called a spiritual family. What's the spiritual family I'm referring to? Well, the Bible says that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord is saved. And in that moment, I become a part of not just an earthly family, but I become a part of a much larger spiritual family. You see, the Spirit of Christ is planted within me at that moment I say yes to Jesus, and I become, well, I have brothers and sisters that I'm connected with. This thing called a local church where other people that have said yes to Jesus gather together. I'm united with them, and we may not sleep in the same home at night, but there are so many other things that this spiritual family does together, right? We worship together. We celebrate together. We pray together. We're there when we're in times of need. When we struggle, we all struggle, right? We serve together. We make a difference. We worship together. We high five and we hug whenever Fauci says it's okay. We do those things together, right? What a spiritual family does. I love the word here in John. Let me get to it. John chapter 1, I believe, is where I'm at. It says this, the spiritual family is, but to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. When I believe in Jesus and accept him in my life, I become a child of God. Come on, somebody might talk trash about your earthly daddy, but they cannot talk trash about your spiritual daddy. You just tell them he will cut you. No, he won't do that. I promise. That's a bad YouTube video I watched years ago. But he says that they are reborn, not with physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but you're reborn with a birth that comes from God. Hey, you might be at odds and be put out and done with your earthly family. I hope that you'll hang in there with us. But where are you at when it comes to a spiritual family? Have you ever called upon the name of the Lord and are saved? Hey, check this out. I told you that the Bible is God's instruction manual for how our earthly families ought to work. Can I also tell you something else? It is also the instruction manual of how you should work. You want to know what your life should look like and be about? The answer is right here in the Word of God. Hey, you want to know how you should respond when this happens? Or hey, when you're feeling down or discouraged, hey, do you ever question who God is? Or hey, is he really with me? Does he even care? I'm telling you, all those answers are found here. Hey, you want to know what the plan is that he has for your life? Hello, he speaks to that as well. Just as our earthly families function better when we let the creator of them step into it, check this out. You function better when you let him step into your life as well. He plants his spirit within you. He begins to guide and control to whatever level you will let him. It's up to you. But he wants to take over and consume you and show you the plans that he has for you. Would you let Jesus step into your life today? Would you say yes to him? Would you allow the creator of your family to step into your family today as well and begin to do something miraculous? He wants to turn your home upside down in a good, healthy way. I'm just telling you, there's something special that happens in our lives as individuals and also in our lives when it comes to our family. Whenever we put God first and allow him to lead, things work better. Not perfect, Not perfect, but better. Will you let Jesus step into your situation today? Have you been reborn spiritually and given your life to Christ? If not, I want to ask you to do that today. Would everybody stand with me? And our prayer ministry team are going to come and join me down front here today. Listen, I don't know where you're at with the Lord. Just bow your heads and close your eyes if you don't mind. I don't know where you're at individually with Jesus Christ. We have to start there. The transformation in your family and in your home has to start with you as an individual. Hey, listen, you cannot pass on what you do not possess. And if you do not possess the presence of the living God within you, listen, you're going to just be a resounding gong, a babbling, talking head if you do not possess the Spirit of God. Are you with me there? Would you let Jesus Christ come into your life today? Our prayer ministry team are down front here today. And if there's anything that they could pray with you or encourage you, that would be the greatest thing today. Would it not be, team? We got to settle Jesus first and foremost in your life. Maybe you are here today, though, and your family's a mess. And you would also love someone just to come alongside and pray with you, to encourage you. You're facing something difficult, seems insurmountable. I'm telling you, with God, all things are possible. And let me just remind you what he says. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Jesus says that you can do nothing apart from him. Let him come in and take over your situation. So Father, that's my prayer today, is that for the person here today that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, today would be the day where they would say, I need Jesus. I need to be forgiven of my sin. I'm tired of trying to figure it out and do it my own way. And today I want to give my life to Christ. I want him not only to save me, I want him to be Lord. I want him to take over, control, and dominate me. Maybe for the individual here today says, I need God to do a work in my family. The same is true there. You need to let Jesus take over. Father, however we can pray for people today, I pray that they not miss this moment. Your Spirit is here. Transformation is possible when we allow you to have your way. So come, Holy Spirit, and do it now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you guys for being here. Please stop by and grab that family Devo. You're dismissed.